Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you have been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic, hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are all clear to know the truth. And that truth is that if when you join S.H.I.E.L.D., you do get to travel to distant exotic lands, meet new people, and then, of course, kill them.
Well, yeah. I just figured that was a given.
That does seem like a given, unless you're Fitz, and then you just have those people take advantage of you.
So. That's how that works?
I think that's how that works, yeah. A dramatic mid-season finale episode here in December. It was not a holiday-themed episode, as so many other mid-season finales that happen in, December, you know, are often.
No, well, there were some glowing things. Does that count?
It's no.
It's kind of like Christmas decorations, no?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, that's true, because, you know, some people got presents at the end.
Yes.
You know, and... they got to unwrap themselves.
They did. That's so. Right. Right? Okay. And some... it was dramatic, I think, is an understatement for this episode.
Oh, wow. Yes. I was literally on the edge of my seat for about an hour there, so it was very good. Well, why don't you give us the brief, and we can get into talking about this episode, which will keep us in suspense here for a little while.
Yeah, quite a while, actually. Let me break down what they become telling you about the episode titled What They Become, which aired on December 9th of 2014. This was the 10th episode from season 2. Whew, the 10th and final for quite a while.
We are almost halfway through the season. I mean, we're one episode shy of halfway.
Man, life was oof. I don't know that I can wait that long. I'm glad we have some stuff to tide us over. So,
agreed.
This episode was written by Jeffrey Bell, who must have been hunkering down over his desk, sweating over this script, because he put his heart and soul into it. I think it was directed by Michael Zinberg. That name doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, I didn't see him having done anything before.
All right, well, he must like action episodes then, because it is the best day ever when, after some fancy flying, May saves the bus from being obliterated by Whitehall's Hydra attack. As you remember, he ordered it shot down at the end of last week's episode. And they tried. They gave it their best effort. But, man, nobody goes against May when it comes to flying or fighting.
Did they really give it their best effort? I mean, come on.
Well, maybe she didn't really need her best effort because it didn't seem all that hard, you know.
They take wanted it into them a to dive. Escape.
You think so?
Yeah, no, I don't. But anyway, go ahead.
They really did. Okay, so so they missed the bus. They didn't get to shoot that down. So from there, May takes the bus, and they're ready to meet up with Coulson for an explosive climax filled with alien artifacts, mysterious temples, evil masterminds, and crazy doctors. Now, Ward fulfills that promise of his and takes Skye to see her father. And that the good doctor explains to her how Whitehall killed her mother. And now Skye has to fulfill her destiny and go into the ancient temple to become something new. Whitehall, on the other hand, has other plans. And these plans require a little discovery through experimentation. Have you noticed? He really enjoys saying that a little bit too much.
He really chews those words.
Oh, my gosh.
Says
like
them,
It's like his mantra.
it is. Now, it is.
Yeah, but don't worry about that because Coulson stops Whitehall, which makes the doctor very, very angry. And most of our heroes end up down the hole where Reyna is setting the obelisk in place for a dramatic conclusion. So Jay, we're going into a mysterious place as we start talking about this episode. So, you know, don't die out there.
Hey, and who doesn't want to hear that? Thank you. I appreciate that, Josh.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, before we get into the dramatic mid-season cliffhanger here, it kind of was a cliffhanger, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going on, not as dramatic as some other shows, I think. But we do want to tell you that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Won't be back next week. Actually, it won't be back until March 3rd. So what's that, about 3.5 months?
So we're skipping an entire season of the year. Winter is just like... It's like there's no winter. It's like the anti Game of Thrones.
It is the anti Game of Thrones.
Winter is not coming. Yeah.
Which is good because they may just either they're going to pick up right away or they may pick up, you know, 3 months after, you know, the events, and we'll kind of see everything, you know, where everybody is at that point. But based that they have 12 episodes left, they're going to have to run – they may have to run pretty much straight through the end of the season here when they start in March. Either way, they are going to run beyond the opening of Avengers Age of Ultron, which I believe is May 1st, if I'm not mistaken, or it's at least that first week of – or first weekend in May. So with 12 episodes, that's about – 3 months worth, and if they do, if they go straight, that'll give them March, April, and May, and then they'll be done late May.
Well, now they did a similar thing. Remember with Captain America: The Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
and that movie greatly affected the outcome of the end of the first season.
Right, so I'm wondering what they're going to do. And it has been announced. Marissa Tancheroen and Jed Whedon came out and did a press junket earlier in the week and said, S.H.I.E.L.D. will tie in with the Age of Ultron. Well, duh. I mean, hashtag it's all connected. So
it is. I mean, but I guess they wouldn't have to do it. I mean, they could just completely leave S.H.I.E.L.D. out of it now that Captain America's kind of dismantled it and they're kind of on the run. But,
yeah.
I mean, you got to, especially if you want to keep – these are pretty strong words. I don't want anybody to take them the wrong way. But if you want to keep this series relevant to the Marvel Universe,
mm-hmm.
You've got to connect it. You've got to keep connecting it to the movies here and there.
I did have a friend ask, well, why didn't they tie it into Guardians of the Galaxy? And I said, well, that's a little different. You know, it doesn't quite work.
What did they tie into Guardians of the Galaxy? Besides Howard the Duck.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really. Well, I mean, the Infinity Stones into the rest of the Marvel Universe and stuff like that. But that's the whole point, I think, of Guardians of the Galaxy is it's on the other side of the universe from where our Marvel characters are happening. And we're getting a glimpse over there. And I think the point will be that at some point in the next 2 to 3 years, the Marvel Universe the heroes that we've already met in the Marvel Universe will be expanding enough that they will then kind of bump into the Guardians or something like that. So
right.
But with all that excitement that is still coming for S.H.I.E.L.D., I mean, I think there's a lot of cool stuff going on. Don't fret because you and I will be back in about 3 weeks. Which
yes,
is cool.
We will.
Yeah. Didn't I tell you about this?
No, yeah. Absolutely.
I think I mentioned this.
We're going antiquing, right? Isn't that
antiquing?
What?
Yes, that's where we're going to find sleeping people and throw flour in their face. No?
No, not that kind of antiquing.
Not that kind of antiquing. Okay. We are
if you want to get together for that, that's
fine
too.
We can do that too. I mean, I'm easy. No, we are actually going back to the 1940s, you and I, with Agent Carter, and we are going to be hosting Agent Carter of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which will be following this mid-season replacement series, Agent Carter, which is 8 hours, apparently 7 episodes, with a 2-hour season premiere on January 6th, I believe, on Tuesday during the same time slot. So, well, actually, mm-hmm. I think it's 8 to 10.
Eastern and Pacific. So check your local listings, and we'll be there that following Friday to tell you all about how this very forward thinking woman of the 1940s kicks ass and takes names.
Absolutely, there's your tagline right there.
Can I say that?
I think you can say that. Yeah, she takes names. I think you can say that.
Okay.
It is my opinion entirely, but
Josh's opinions do not reflect the opinions of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. case files.
That's probably a good disclaimer. No, it is my opinion that formatting the season like this for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has worked in a very positive way for them without having all those choppy breaks like they did last season, where there's a big break here, a week off here. Instead, they've got virtually no breaks in the first half. I don't remember. Was there even a break? I don't even remember.
We had at least one in there.
Oh, Thanksgiving. They were off Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. weren't they? And we don't know the full schedule for sure right now, but it sounds like they almost have to just go back-to-back for the second half.
Yeah.
And that's very similar to how those big cable shows do it, you know, like mm-hmm. Walking Dead and Game of Thrones and things
right.
like that.
Right, yeah. So. And a lot of them will split the season in two and do – you know, 7 or 8 episodes straight. Yeah, they did 2 breaks. They did a break the first week of – well, they went straight from the end of September all the way through the end of October. So 6 episodes. Then they did a break, 2 episodes, a break, and then they did these last 2 episodes.
Well, I think it kept the flow much better and I think kept people's interest. You know, I mean, the storyline, of course, I think has improved, and that kept people's interest too just from word of mouth. But if it had been broken up and choppy like it was last season, I think that would have hurt him.
I agree. And I think having Agent Carter as a short run of connected episode, well, not necessarily connected, but contiguous episodes will be really positive as well. It'll be nice for somebody you can sit down and basically watch it for 7 weeks and be done with it. It'll also work well. You know, when they do like a DVD release, because you can, you know, probably 2 days you can watch all those or something like that. Yeah. It's going to be kind of like a nice test for, I think, what the Netflix shows are going to be like. Those are going to be 13 episodes, so almost a little more than or a little less than twice as many as we're getting with Agent Carter. But we got to wait another 5, 5.5, 6 months until Daredevil comes out. So mm-hmm. I think that'll be cool. All right. And so anyway, during the break here, if you guys have information about S.H.I.E.L.D. and you want to follow along, we will still be posting stuff to our Facebook page. So please feel free to check that out. But also just keep this feed open and you will be getting the Agent Carter of S.H.I.E.L.D. case files episodes as they come out. So you can look forward to that. All right. So you want to get into what they become, which is the, like you said, the 10th episode here. You had a really interesting idea. We've talked about how a number of titles this season have been kind of literary references. And let me just rehash these or bring them back up so people can remember. We talked about Heavy as the Head, which is part of a quote from Henry IV, Shakespeare's Henry IV, Heavy as the Head that Wears the Crown. We had Making Friends and Influencing People, which was very similar to Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. We had A Fractured House, which was, we thought, similar to Lincoln's quote from 1858, A house divided against itself cannot stand. And then last week we had Ye Who Enter Here from Dante's Inferno, being abandon all hope, ye who enter here. So with What They Become, what were your thoughts about that that title, Josh?
Well, I just all of the literary referenced titles have kind of stood out to me like they were maybe doing it on purpose. They weren't all, I don't think they were all literary titles this season. It seemed like there were a few that weren't. What was it? Writing on the Wall. That was very
Head
literal.
Hen in the Wolf House. So, I Will Face My Enemy in Shadows. Those were
those didn't seem like very literary references. But this one, because it was ambiguous, I guess. It reminded me a lot of the short story The Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka. Have you ever read that?
I have not read it, but I'm familiar with the content because I believe it was referenced heavily in William Burroughs' Naked Lunch,
okay,
which was kind of similar.
Okay, yeah, and I, you know, this is one of the reasons this is well known is that, you know, many college students are forced to read it. But the story basically is about a traveling salesman.
Gregor Samsa,
yeah, who suddenly, for no reason that's ever explained, turns into like this giant cockroach. And then just, you know, lives with his family and they're disgusted with him. But he changes into this whatever. And the story is about, you know, how he changes and basically what he becomes. So I don't know why it stood out to me. I mean, I can't think of a specific quote or passage in it that said, you know, what they become. But it just reminded me of this by the end. And we don't know everything that's going to happen, but there were some possible dramatic animal-like changes to one of the characters, possibly.
Possibly, right. I think it's really interesting just due to the fact that, I mean, what they become ends up being a quote, a sort of a quote from Raina. She says, "We get to find out what we become." So that's an element, but they do. They go into a metamorphosis. I mean, Raina and Sky both get this cocoon-like thing around their outside, you know, and then they emerge from it. It doesn't take them very long, but it's not something that I had necessarily thought about, but I think that's applicable to what we're what we're discussing about with the episode and what the character, you know, what's happening in the characters and stuff, because it truly is a metamorphosis, I think, that they're undergoing.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully neither one of them turn into a giant cockroach, but, you know.
You know, Marvel's probably got some giant cockroach character somewhere.
Cockroach man.
Roachy.
Roy Roachy.
Roachy. So,
radioactive cockroach accident.
I mean, I do know a guy named Roachman, but, you know, he can score you what you need. So, anyway, the other thing about this episode was I think it was probably an episode that provided the most answers of almost any other episode. I think there are still mysteries out there. I don't want to say that there aren't any mysteries, but I think this clears up just a boatload of stuff that we've been speculating about or unclear of over the past, 32 episodes here, which kind of blew my mind when I was calculating how many episodes they'd done so far. So
I think it answered a bunch of episodes that have been lingering and created new ones, which you and I have both said throughout the series that is an important way to continue making the storyline interesting. You got to answer them every once in a while, but then you keep adding new ones to make us wonder what's going to happen next. And I think it did that.
Yeah, and it did it in a very unambiguous way. I thought Jeffrey Bell, as I've talked about on past podcasts, a lot of times I feel like the series is trying to get me to think that someone is doing something, you know, bad or whatever, but I'm not really sure what they're doing is what I'm supposed to think. They're, you know, it gets really confusing. A character does something, it's like, oh, it's very simple because they're doing this. It's like, well, but why are they doing that? They're actually a double agent or a triple agent or a quadruple agent or whatever it is. And this episode, I felt, and you may disagree, but I thought it was very unambiguous about a lot of these answers. Characters were basically just saying, this is what has happened, and this is how it is. Not even like, well, I understand it this way. It was like, no, it's just, boom, this is what's going on. So,
I do kind of agree with you, actually. It didn't stand out to me, but now that you say it, I can notice sometimes. And there were even times that characters' actions were very just straightforward. I mean, Whitehall getting shot would be an example of that, I would think. You know, I mean, it wasn't any of this long, dragged out thing. It was just like, bam, all right, he's gone.
They characters in this were very, they knew what they wanted, and they just, they did what was necessary. I mean, and I think that was the only way they were able to pack as much in to the episode. Whitehall getting shot. We'll discuss Skye a little bit more here, but I mean, Skye shooting Ward. It's like, I mean, that's just good feeling television right there. So,
good feeling on a very special episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, exactly. So, but so here's some things. So, yes, we can say that the woman that we had seen in one of the previous episodes here was actually Skye's mom, and she did have a power to not age, or not at least, as Whitehall says, not age in the way that we know. Yes, Skye can touch the obelisk, so she is special as well. Yes, her name is Daisy. They weren't just trolling us last episode with the reference
to...
The
music box.
With the music box, right. And her dad's name is Cal, which is short for Calvin, which is probably Calvin Zabo, who is Daisy Johnson's father in the comic books. Yes, she's an Inhuman, and which is, so is Reyna. Skye gets these vibrational powers, and Reyna looks like she's turning into some kind of bird-like creature, but we can discuss that a little bit more here as we get on. Yes, Max seems to have survived, and yes, it's going to be a long 3.5 months before we can find out more about this, but I'd like to explore some of these a little bit more in depth, and I'm sure there were some other things that that popped up that we'll be able to talk about here as well. So, would you agree with me? This is a Skye episode. Even though we deal with a number of other character issues, this episode is all about putting Skye kind of back to the forefront of the series, I believe.
Yeah, if you would have to choose a character to pick as the hub of this story, I would say yes. I think, you know, it may be also the hub could be the answer to a lot of these questions. You know, like they're kind of trying to clean some stuff up so they can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for sure, I would say this is a Skye episode.
So what I find interesting is that if you right now at this point in the series, and I'm only picking this point because this, I mean, because this is where we are, but this is a very dramatic metamorphosis, as you mentioned earlier, point for Skye's character or for Daisy's character. If you look back where she was at the beginning of season one, and then even at the beginning of season two, you know, I think we were able to see a change from her. She had been training with S.H.I.E.L.D. and she was a little harder edged. But you look at the character now, how much she has changed in these 32 episodes. I am going to kind of go back to thinking that this series is really about Skye and how, you know, it's kind of like Skye and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think we had talked about that way back in the beginning of the first season, and that's kind of what it seemed like off and on for a little bit, but they've meandered away from her storyline. And I hate that it's taken 32 episodes for them to get to this point. I feel like we probably could have done this episode end of the first season, maybe just even 10 episodes ago. I think that would have been a dramatically different sort of reaction, but obviously they had some stuff they were doing with Winter Soldier. And I think they had those other stories they wanted to tell.
I would also say Coulson. I think they had to clean up some issues with Coulson and why he was alive. But
okay,
I think so. And it took him a long time to get to that too.
Yeah, I mean, the pacing of this show. So, as listeners of this show probably know, you and I also do podcasts for CW's The Flash and CW's Arrow. And what I find interesting is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has its own tone. I don't think it's like any other show that I've followed. It's not like Lost, The beats that it has for its pacing, it's just it's unfamiliar. Like Arrow, they hit you hard at the beginning of the episode, and then they get into some other stuff, and then usually they have big moments at the end of each episode, always something that's like, whoa, and then come back next week. And not that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't do that, but they take their own pace. They may not have any real huge moments at any point during the episode here, but boy, when you're done with the episode, we've definitely moved on, with where we are. So,
yeah, it feels like they're trying to get their beats more, as a season, as a not just one episode, not so episodic. And I'm not sure that that's working for them very well. Well, at least I shouldn't say that. It's working for them better now than it was first season, but. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like there was a very long extended storyline that they were trying to get to, and the beats would come far between each other. So, but I agree with you. I think they're going towards a better direction here with Sky. But do you think they had that planned all along, or do you think that they used the character of Sky to get to that? I mean, they use this character of Sky to use so they could get to that.
According to a article that came out this week at IGN.com with Marissa Tencheron and Jed Whedon, they said that their plan all along was to have Sky be Daisy Johnson, aka Quake.
Okay.
And
I believe it.
Or that's what they wanted to do, and it was one of those things where they start working with a character. And then, you have to get permission to, hey, is it okay that we use this character? You're not planning on using her for the movies or anything like that. And then they got, permission somewhere, I would imagine, early on. So they started building their storylines and just knew that's where they were going to eventually go. And these people that we're seeing, these characters of Daisy and Raina and the No-Eyed Man, they are Inhumans with a capital I, as in the movie that's going to be coming out in 2018 here. But they didn't say when they made that kind of decision. I don't know if that was something that was more of a.
Well, I believe it. I mean, I certainly buy that they have had this in mind all along. It's just there you go. Kind of back to that beats thing. It just seems like it took a long time to get to that if they had planned it all along.
Their dramatic arcs they're doing long form dramatic arcs, where in more episodic television or soap opera-y television, because I don't even know if this isn't really soap opera-ish, right? There's not a lot of high drama. There's drama, but it's not that exaggerated telenovela stuff or whatever,
No, it's more comic book type drama.
It even doesn't feel like some of the beats that you would get in a comic book, and just because some episodes just end, there's a lot of exposition. I mean, this episode had a lot of exposition, definitely. I feel like sometimes they take shortcuts with characters and they expect us to make the leap to figure out what happened in between, and other times they lead us by the hand through everything that happened, very much like the Doctor was going through everything again. Some of the stuff we had kind of figured out, you and I had figured out and had talked about it. I don't know if it's if it was as obvious to other people, but that the woman was the wife and she was murdered and all this stuff, and it's like, okay, that seems like stuff that they would skip over. And I don't know if it has to do with who's writing the episode or, how that works out. But I don't know. It's different, which is not necessarily bad. But, change is, terrifying, as the Doctor, puts in here. And so every episode is terrifying because there's always change.
There you go. Well,
one thing I wanted to add in here because we're talking about Sky a little bit, is we missed saying this last week. Actually, we missed this. Someone had written into our Facebook page, and I think you and I had both realized it like the day after we recorded. But because we had talked about Reyna.
I think you sent me an email like right after when I woke up. I saw the email or something that we had forgotten this.
Yeah. So Reyna, you know, as we mentioned, was not wearing a flowered dress, which we thought was odd. But in her dream, Sky was wearing a flowered dress. Now, you know what kind of flowers were on that dress, Josh?
I had a hard time telling.
Well, I heard someone online say they were daisies, and I said, that is brilliant. So I went and looked at the beginning of the episode again today.
Yeah.
No, not daisies.
No, they don't look anything like daisies.
No, they're not. Daisies are, you know, they got the dark center and the white petals around the outside, or sometimes like a pink center and white petals. Yeah. These were more like roses or maybe nasturtiums.
Even the shape of the leaves that go with the flowers, they're like rose leaves. You know, they've got that kind of oval with the pointy end. Yeah, they look more like roses to me.
But
would have been good if they're daisies.
Yeah. But daisies are a flower, and she was wearing a flowery dress, and she was listening to the music of the song called Daisy. So that was cool. I felt good to know that. I was very excited when we got people's names in this episode because, you know, it's a way of categorization of things that happen. And, you know, when you see a bunch of characters in a comic book or on a TV show or in a movie, if you don't know their name, you don't get really attached. But when you've got people constantly screaming, you know, that's not their name, and you go, okay, well, Sky, how crazy is her name if it's not Sky? You know, to actually get that kind of confirmation is great. And then also in this IGN article that I mentioned earlier, Tencheron and Whedon also mentioned that they are fans of the Secret Warriors series that of comic books that came out. And I think we had discussed this a little bit during our mid-season, our
summer
break in one of our summer specials.
More than a little bit, yeah. Well, you had speculated that they got a lot of their storylines based on that.
It's what it seemed like, and we were also speculating that if, in fact, Sky was supposed to be Daisy Johnson, she takes up a huge leadership role in the comic book series. And so I think what I'm going to be doing over the winter break here is going back and rereading the, I don't know, it's like 30 episodes or 30 issues of Secret Warriors or something like that, and see what else I might be able to come up with, because there's definitely a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the run, Hydra's scattered S.H.I.E.L.D., Nick Fury's in hiding kind of stuff, and Daisy actually becomes the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a short time during this series as well, which would be really interesting.
It is. And by the way, you turned me on to that series, and I really, really enjoyed it. I have actually gone back and read it a couple times, too, because it was really good. So I do recommend it.
I think you can get it in you can definitely get it digitally through Marvel's store, and I think they've got a two or three trade paperbacks with all that information in there. I had another question for you about Sky. So we see this metamorphosis of her at the end, and she gets these special powers that appear to cause like earthquakes or something like that. It appears to be some sort of vibrational superpower or something like that. So how do you think Sky will feel or will function in this organization that has previously locked up gifted people, as in Donnie, the Iceman. Who is that character?
The guy with the freezing powers, right?
The freezing powers, yeah. I forget what his code name is. They never really used it, but it was Donnie, or like with Graviton, which, boy, we haven't seen him for a long time. He's going to have to come back at some point. But anyway, they put them on an index, or they lock them up. And, you know, she was talking about how she wasn't crazy about the way that the questions that they asked or whatever. How do you think Sky is going to deal with that now that she has superpowers?
Well, you know, a lot of that stuff happened before S.H.I.E.L.D. was dismantled, and, you know, Coulson's in charge now, and I don't think she's going to have an issue with that with him. I just he's too close to her to lock her up like that. I mean, even with powers,
right? So, and I don't know if I'm suggesting that, but she's going to definitely get a. I mean, I think she was very empathetic about character situations previously.
Oh, right.
I believe it was the episode. It wasn't Visit. It was one of the ones right after that, though. It's where they went and investigated the woman that supposedly had the telekinetic powers.
Uh-huh.
But it was the ghost of the guy that was kind of trapped between dimensions that was messing with her. And Sky has had that empathy with these characters, but now she is one of these characters. And I'm just wondering if you think that's if there is reasonable suspicion that there is stuff for us to explore with the character and those elements there.
Maybe. And that could become an issue because what we have seen so far, especially in the TV series, is that they're looked at, you know, characters that have those kind of powers are looked at very suspiciously, and they do treat them differently. So I think that would be a good place to take the character and have, you know, the whole team that we have that we've kind of come close to, how they're going to deal with that, and especially maybe even Ward. That could really become an issue with how her and Ward interact with each other.
I think if she sees Ward again, thinking that she has, killed him, probably, I would assume that's what she, when she shot him, I think she probably, she just left him to die. And if she sees him again and she's got superpowers, I have a feeling that he's in for a bad time.
He's going to have a bad time. yeah, that could get a little shaky.
Yeah. This does leave a huge opening, I think, for building a superpowered team, kind of maybe as a sub-team, a la the Secret Avengers is kind of one that comes to mind right now. And I enjoy what they've been doing with the show, but I also would like to see some more kind of superhero, supervillain stuff like we... You know, we've been teased off and on with some of this stuff. You had I'm just thinking about all the stuff that we haven't even seen, like second season. We've got Graviton. We've got Deathlok still out there to be able to do more stuff with. If there's anybody else that's got the GH-235 in them or 325 or whatever it was, or just other superpowered characters. Sure.
We saw Absorbing Man, and he's still around. I mean, he's stone, but remember, as right. Coulson said, he could do that before.
Right. And so. And Donnie too. I mean, he got frozen and fell into the water, but I mean, he could freeze before. So yeah, there's all sorts of cool power stuff, and I'd like to see some more superpowered good characters. They don't right now. They're all bad guys, and it's kind of like that's what we're getting. They're misunderstood. Maybe this like this eyeless guy that we saw at the end of this episode, this other inhuman who's got he's got like another diviner, kind of like a little bat phone going off inside his case, alerting him to another
that's
one.
A different
and
franchise.
There are
be careful.
Yeah, and there are others, right? So there's this which is kind of the way the Inhumans are. There's this whole group of other characters called Inhumans, and they live among us or apart from us depending on how their metamorphosis went. Some of them will look radically different, and other ones like Sky look like humans but just have superpowers, whereas Reyna looks like she's going to be something scarier, right? I can't quite tell what she is.
No, they didn't show us much. They just gave us a taste.
Yeah, so we saw some talons coming out from her fingers. Appeared to be have like claws or something on them, and then we see the close up of her eye, which was very bird like, with sort of little feathers coming out around her her eye orbit, I guess.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
So now we didn't really see much of Skye after that either, so we don't know if she's physically changed, but it didn't appear to be.
It did, yeah. There was nothing. I mean, and they lingered on her hands in the same way they showed Raina's hands. They lingered on Skye's eyes, and then she busted out of the cocoon.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I didn't think about that being
part of
the
power.
And we
saw her whole body there. So I mean, it didn't look like that. And of course, then
they didn't show her the back of her. Maybe okay. You know, it's like business in the front, inhuman in the back.
She. like down south.
Yeah. So. Exactly.
And by down south, I mean Antarctica, because that's where inhumans have lived at one point. Yeah, so obviously a lot of interesting things going. And I'm wondering, too, if there are any of these themes or things with the inhumans that will cross over into Agent Carter. I can't necessarily see that at this point. I would actually really like them to continue some of the more classic S.H.I.E.L.D. Elements like they did in the Agent Carter one-shot, which was talking about Gemini or Scorpio, I think. It was one of those. I think it was Gemini. But that was pretty cool because if you recall, she stole some kind of fluid or something. Some I don't even know what it was. It was a vial with something in it, so...
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I would love to see that the older elements of S.H.I.E.L.D. because that was a cool era, you know. But it would be kind of cool to have some sort of tie-in, you know, with modern day S.H.I.E.L.D. And they could do that with the Inhumans. That would be one way they could do it because, I mean, clearly this has been around for a while. I mean, not just the ancient aspect of it, but I mean, even back in the 40s, you know, the obelisk, the Kree, I mean, all that stuff was connected. So I don't want it to be the overall storyline because I agree with you. I like the older stuff, for this show, but I'd love it.
I think what they're going to do is I think they're going to get BJ Britt back and he's going to play Tripp's grandfather.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Agent Carter. I think that would be awesome. Just give him a little bit more hair, and he can be one of the Howling Commandos, because we don't know who we're going to see. I feel that I don't know that the Howling Commandos are going to feature in the series at all. I would love to see them a little bit, like we did at the beginning of the season with S.H.I.E.L.D. this year.
She worked with them at the beginning, so they might.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows? I mean, based on the scenes that we've seen, there was like a 2-minute clip or something like that that was out, that Marvel's put out. It looks like it's more stateside after the war, kind of like the Agent Carter one shot. So I don't know that they're going to really focus on the Diviner and the Kree and all that kind of stuff, because I feel like they've kind of wrapped all that stuff, and the Whitehall, they've kind of wrapped all that up. They've explained all of that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Diviner was pretty much sealed up until Lucy Lawless opened it at the beginning of the season. So I kind of just have to think that they're going to go in an entirely different direction here, but we'll see. I'm sure there'll be references to stuff that we'll dig out and share with everybody. Okay. We're going to do a quick round of Are They Dead?
Okay.
I think this is always a, it's always a fun activity for us to try to speculate on. And
I think you and I are batting about 50% on...
probably about 50%, maybe even a little bit less. Maybe 4-8. So I'm going to put Mac on the list here.
All right, Mac.
What do you think?
Mac, I do not believe, is dead, nor do I believe he is no longer Mac anymore.
Right.
You know, was it Coulson that said, you know, he's not Mac?
Right.
It seemed like – it felt to me like toward the end of the episode there when everything was kind of going down, you know. It seemed like he kind of lost that hypnotic part of his eyes. It seemed like he was kind of coming back.
Yeah, it looked like that he had kind of collapsed, and I think Coulson caught him. It was in the scenes where they were showing kind of like the earthquake that was hitting Puerto Rico at that point when Skye kind of bust out of her cocoon. So – I agree. I think that he's probably shaken, but I think he's okay.
Not stirred, huh?
What about Whitehall?
Oh, now, this is a tricky one. And I think I'm going to go out on that are they dead limb. And I'm going to say no.
No, he is not dead.
I do not think Whitehall is dead. And my only reasoning for this, really, truly the only reasoning for this, is he died quick and easy. I mean, after building this guy up as being an evil guy that's been around for so long what's the word I'm looking for? Not manipulative. He is manipulative, but he's a planner, you know? I mean, he knows. Mm-hmm. He looks ahead.
Schemer.
A schemer. He's always planning. He's always got a backup plan.
Yeah.
Just in case something happens. Mm. So for Coulson just to kind of sneak up behind him and shoot him up through the kind of look just through the shoulder, right through his back, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah, he was
bleeding, like a headshot or anything.
Yeah, I mean, it was near his heart or something like that. But
yeah, how many characters in any superhero genre, comic, movie, show has ever died like that? Go for the head, for crying out loud! Did you guys watch Walking Dead? So I'm going to kind of go out on a limb and say I do not think Whitehall is dead.
Okay, I will disagree with that. I think he is dead, and my reasoning is that the doctor bends down and puts his hand on his throat, you know, checking his pulse. I mean, remember, this guy really is a doctor. I mean, he's not just playing a crazy doctor. He said he had a clinic in China, and he was doing the surgery on that guy a couple episodes ago. But
he's
he
not like
him.
A fake doctor, like on Oprah or something. He doesn't just come. He just doesn't just have his own doctor show.
Right.
In the afternoon.
Well,
okay.
He's not like Joey on Days of Our Lives.
Okay.
From Friends. So.
Okay. Yeah,
but
you're
he
right.
Checks,
he is.
He checks his pulse. And then he's, you know, he gets really upset at Coulson because, you know, I was supposed to kill him. And, you know, that's when Coulson's like, you're welcome. So that's my reason.
By the way, take the shot at him, too. What are you doing, Coulson? Come on. He's right there.
One more shot or one more step and I'll shoot you. No, seriously, one more step. Just take one. I'm going to shoot. All right. Forget it. I'm not going to kill you. It's like... Don't talk, and I hate when characters say, you know, I'm going to shoot you if you blah, 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 or whatever. It's like, just to have this dialogue. Like what Sky did. I mean, all right, we all know what Ward has done, and he totally deserved that. And but he's, oh, my God, he was so manipulative in this episode. It was wonderful.
Ward?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally enjoy good. Him.
Yeah. Backing up, I want to come back to Whitehall for just one brief thing to
comment. Oh, sure.
Contradict what you said. Well, not contradict, but disagree. I just want to say, way to go. Good job, Sky. Like, nice job not hesitating. Just, okay, so what we got to do is bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
Although, if she truly wanted to kill him,
headshot.
Finish it up. I'm just going to leave you here and assume that you're going to die. Okay, going back. Now, yes, I agree with you. He is a doctor. He knows what he's doing. But I do want you to remember that Whitehall had some organs or fluid or something from this woman, from Sky's mother, in him. We don't know really what he did, right? That
curse you.
That,
yes.
That could, you know, potentially make him appear that he was dead or have his heart stop for a little bit and then go, no, I think I'll come back now. So... That's I'm sticking with my prediction.
All right, I'm going to stay with my prediction as well.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So we will just stay. All right. Okay, this is going to be really hard to discuss, but
this is...
Trip.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm just cutting some onions here. Do you think I was going to say, just remember now, you can't spell Trip without RIP. So
oh. Too soon.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Boy.
All right.
Mid-season finales have lots of deaths. I don't know if you watched Walking Dead, but boy. That was hard, too.
That was hard. So, Trip.
He got teleported, right? Before.
No. Here's it. I came up with this theory to
okay.
cope with my loss. okay, so he's an Inhuman, too, but his power was to shrink really small inside the cocoon. So, you know, when the cocoon broke open, he's in there. He's like, hey, I'm not here.
Yeah.
No. All right. Here's the deal. I think Trip's dead.
Yeah. I don't think if you notice, when the mist went out, he checked himself to make sure that nothing was going on. He then shatters the crystal, gets a piece of it in him, and then he turned to ash, and he just kind of
crumbled. Yeah. The only piece of evidence I have that would support him maybe possibly coming back is that Clark Gregg posted a picture that said, you know, bring Trip back or something like that.
Coulson had, it was Trip Lives.
Oh, yeah, Trip Lives. That's what it was. So I think they just really want him to come back, you know, because he's a cool character and a cool actor. But I don't think he's going to come back, which is a drag because I don't think they used him to his potential.
He wasn't just there because he had a suitcase of old Grandpa Howling Commando's gadgets from World War II.
No. That he was there because he had a lot of good quips, and he was talented, and he never did find out about the Koenigs. It's not fair.
And I love that he was like, I know what you guys are doing. whichever one that was, Billy, I think it was totally trolling him in this episode. And it's like, well, they've come right out and said they're LMDs, basically, that they're robots. But they were joking last week about how many brothers there were. Who knows? I can't see. Again, this goes back to that writing. I just can't. I can't believe what's going on the show all the time. It's like, I feel like, okay, well, if I take this character at their word, then they're robots. But we saw what they were joking about last week. So Trip didn't believe them. So why should I believe them? So
yeah, I want to know more. I kind of like what they're doing with the Koenigs there. That's pretty good.
Now, I've got to go back to a rumor that occurred. I think it was prior to second season here. People said they had spotted BJ Britt, who's the actor that plays Trip, on the set of Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Oh, okay.
So
maybe they're doing a little reverse living thing.
Yeah. So I'm either going to call BS and say that those people are liars, or there's two other possibilities. One is that they've got some kind of flashback scene that they were filming, or that it wasn't even BJ Britt, I guess. It was a guy that looked like him.
Hmm.
You know, similar.
I don't know. Unfortunately for him, I think Trip is gone. That's my prediction for old Trip.
Don't you think they could, like, pour some GH325 on the dust or something?
On the dust, and he would come back. Make sure all the dust is in the right place, you know. Don't have, like, his arm coming out of the top of his head or something.
Hey, I'm an Inhuman, too. And then, he pulled, like, a big Walter Donovan there at the end of the episode from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, just kind of turned to dust.
At first, I thought he was just going to stay there and he'd be like a statue. I'm like, oh, I can help. Oh, yeah, no, not good.
It started to crumble.
Not good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and what about Raina? What do you think? Do you think she actually ends up surviving here?
I do think Raina's alive. I mean, that seems pretty obvious to me, but I just put her on there because they didn't show really much of her after her supposed transformation. You know, they just kind of showed bits and pieces of her, but not really the full thing. I do, of course, I think she's alive, but thought I'd put her on the dress. I thought I'd put her on the flower dress. I thought I'd put her on the list because it didn't really finalize her. But I'm wondering now, after these little feathers or whatever they're poking out of her, that's how's she going to wear the flower dress now?
Yeah.
That's going to rip that or something. It's just not going to lay right.
I was going to say maybe she will have flowers all over her skin or whatever. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah. See, it would fit. She's got this obsession with, maybe she's like a hummingbird. Don't they like flowers?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of birds like flowers.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That explains that.
What about Diego? Is Diego dead?
Diego is alive. I just don't know who he is.
He's the dude who doesn't wear a suit and is never on time. That's what we know.
You know, he is. Here's who I think Diego is. Who was the guy on that sitcom with Tim Allen, their neighbor? You know,
Wilson.
Wilson. Yeah, there you go. That's Diego. Yeah, Wilson. You know, they never really tell much about him. You don't see him fully all the time.
Howdy, neighbor. That guy. Just see his eyes.
Well, if he was, that would actually be pretty funny. Yeah, I don't know what's the deal with Diego. Who's Diego?
Where in the world is Diego?
no, that's Carmen San.
Carmen San.
Yeah.
Diego.
That's okay. His wife.
Got it. All right. Well, the last thing that I wanted to talk about, which I think going back to some of the answers that we got, is about Ward and and Agent 33, a.k.a. Freaky Fried Face May, which that's just going to stick. I don't know. It's like anything that Patton Oswalt says on the show is just funny. It just, I don't know if it's just by nature of the way he delivers it. I mean, I know they're writing funny stuff for him to say, too, but... So, I don't remember if it was last week, but within the last couple episodes, you and I have been talking about, well, is whose side is Ward on, right? Is he really on Hydra's side? Is he on S.H.I.E.L.D.'s side, being like a double agent? For me, I think this episode confirms that Ward is on his side. He is just, he's out for himself, and that's what he is.
I agree with you. I have a question, though, about his motivation. You know, he took Sky to her father, took her to the doctor.
Because he promised.
But is that really why? It's because he said he would, and he promised that she would get – because she didn't want to go. So,
I think it's like Raina said. I mean, she's like – it's so obvious. It's like they're in love, and Ward kind of shot her a glance there. I think it was just kind of like, shut up. I'm not in love. Nuh-uh.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, do you really think he does still love her, or is he just like, you know what, done with you, I'm going to toss you over to the wolves here?
No, I think Ward is – first off, Ward is damaged goods. He is so bass-ackward about feelings. I think – he may be feeling love, and he's like, oh, well, yeah, no, I'll totally do this. You know, like, his wiring is crossed so that, you know, when he feels happy when he kills somebody, and he feels sad when, other people are happy or something like, I don't know, you know, it's all just, everything's backwards or messed up for him in terms of his emotions. So I don't know that he knows what he wants, but yeah, I think he is feeling... to him, what is love? But I, just obviously,
baby,
Sky
don't
is
hurt
like
me.
You're freaky.
it's like that crazy roommate. You know, yeah, it seems nice, and then they move in, and then they get all weird.
Yeah,
that she's
yeah. But so it appears at the end that he and Agent 33. Kind of team up and she saves him, right? Or, you know, they go off together. Because I thought this was really interesting. They're both damaged characters. Both physically, mentally, and emotionally. Ward's been shot, and Agent 33's got this, you know, she's got this permanent thing on her face, right? This mask of May, but the kind of the scar around her eye and everything like that. They've both been discarded by the organizations they work for, or the leaders that they trusted have led them astray and, given them, for all intents and purposes, trust issues. Ward even mentions, you know, he used to follow somebody as well until the guy went crazy. And, you know, she doesn't know what to do with herself now that Whitehall's dead. Probably because of the brainwashing, it's like, what's that going to do to somebody? You know, she was happy to comply with anything that he said, and now, like...
Now he can't say anything.
Right. What does that do to her psyche or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
and I would say, the leaders, not so much led them astray as so much just abandoned them, you know?
Right? Yeah. Through no necessarily fault of their own, you know.
Not necessarily,
blown
yeah.
up by a laser beam alien weaponry, and, you know, the other one was killed by a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. So.
Yeah, although I would say, now you're talking about John, why can't we
Garrett.
Think of names tonight? John Garrett, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that John Garrett actually abandoned Ward before he died. I mean, when he was kind of losing control and going crazy there, I don't think he cared about Ward anymore. He wasn't concerned. I think he kind of abandoned him there.
Right. Right. That's true.
But
Ward is definitely out for himself, which he kind of has been through the majority of the series.
Sure.
But I'm glad.
But at least he had a goal. You know, he had motivation to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel more comfortable kind of, I think, knowing where he's going. Because it allows, you know, it allows me to think about, okay, well, what would be an interesting thing for this character to do? And I'm sure he's not done on the show. I'm sure he will continue to be a thorn in their side. I also don't think that this is like the end of Hydra. Just because Whitehall's gone doesn't mean that Hydra is all of a sudden not an issue.
Absolutely not.
Which it gives me kind of another reason to think that in 3 months when we come back to the show, it'll have been about 3 months, you know, that maybe Hydra will have pulled themselves back together. We may get back to seeing Baron Strucker in the second half of the season. They mentioned at one point that he was away in Europe or something like that, I think, when Ward went to when he was in the bar and met with Bakshi a couple episodes ago. So that would be nice to bring Strucker in. In the comic books, Baron Strucker is one of the bigger heads of Hydra, and it was the character at the end of Captain America, the Winter Soldier. So hopefully we'll see him in Avengers as well, which could be another little tie-in and all that kind of stuff.
Be fun.
So as far as... I've got mixed feelings about this as far as like a mid-season finale goes. I think there was, like I said, there was a lot of great answers and revelations. I don't feel it left me, like, if this was the end of the season or something like that, or even if this was a point where it's like, okay, you have a choice. You can continue watching the series, or you can just stop right now. I would be fine to, you know, there's an ending. I mean, this is an ending point. There's obviously stuff that happened and questions I have, but I don't feel that like I do with some finales, mid-season finales or series finale or season finales.
Sure.
I don't feel
I
that
you mean.
Draw to like, oh my God, I would have to see what happens next. Like,
yeah. It's
right now.
Well, I think that's a, I don't want to say gimmick, but that's a method that TV series use to get people to really want to watch it again in the following season, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I'm all about the story, and I don't have to have that cliffhanger, you know, to see if the Enterprise really destroys the Borg with Captain Picard on it, or, you know, to see if yeah, I know, right? What's gonna happen? I don't have to have that. It does give, you know, I mean, it does give you something to be excited about and think about, but if you're enjoying the story, you can come right back into it and find out what's going to happen now. And I think that's where this is going. In other words, you know, the thing about this is my problem with cliffhangers is that once you find out what happens, then you know, and if that's the only reason you were coming back to check it out, then after you know, what's to keep you coming back again? But if it's a good enough story, then you can come back as many times you want. It's still a good story, and you don't have to worry about knowing. Hmm. You know, either way, it's just two different ways to look at it and two different things that people enjoy. But that's kind of where I am when I enjoy my my shows and my movies, my stories.
Your stories.
My stories.
I did that the other night. I'm watching, and my wife was trying to talk to me. I'm like, shh, I'm watching my stories. I'm sitting there eating, you know, eating my crackers, watching my stories. So, well, Josh, it has been a very exciting first half of the season here, and I'm looking forward to continuing to talk with you more about this in the future and talk to you a little bit more about Agent Carter here for the winter. But for now, that is all that we've got for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. So join us in 3 weeks for Agent Carter of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
That's right. And happy holidays to everyone on the break. So hope you have a great holiday while you're waiting for us to come back. And hey, here's an idea. You know, you're off for a little while, and hopefully you're off of work and you're hanging out at home and listening to us and maybe watching some reruns of your favorite shows. Why don't you pop over on iTunes while you're sitting there, and you can give us some feedback, and you can give us a good review. We'd love to hear that. And we would also love to hear from you. So you can send us an email at shield@randomchatter.com, or you can like us on Twitter. Is that what you do? Do you like on Twitter, or do you follow on Twitter?
You follow on Twitter.
Okay, follow us on Twitter. at Agents Podcast, and like our Facebook page. That's it. Just do all of that social stuff, right? Facebook.com/Agents Podcast.
And you can also check out the other shows that Josh and I host here on Random Chatter, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. You can also download the shows, as Josh mentioned, in iTunes or through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about us. There's nothing cooler than giving the gift this season of a recommendation of for our podcast to your friends. I think that that's what really everybody wants. It's like, hey, I need a new podcast to listen to. It's like, I don't care about Serial. I don't care about This American Life. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. That's what you need to be telling people to listen to. So, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.